Thank you so much for being here tonight. We welcome you to the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, April 1st, 2025. It was a blizzard today, right? It's springtime. It's melted, then it snowed again. This is what it looks like here in South Jordan, here in Utah. Anyway, we roll with it, and we're glad to have you here. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan right now with this outstanding City Council seated up here with me. And we're going to excuse Mr. McGuire tonight, who is not able to be with us. We also appreciate our staff. Thank you to all of you who are here. And we welcome all of you, visitors, presenters, members of the public, elected officials. We've got a lot of folks here. So those here in person and those joining us online, or if you might watch this later, we welcome you and we thank you for participating. We're going to open the meeting tonight with an invocation by Councilmember Kathy Johnson.
Our Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful that we are able to meet together as a community. We're grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak freely with one another, to respect each other's ideas and concerns in this City Council chamber. We especially ask thee that we should be guided to know what is best for our community. Please help us to make those decisions that are in the best interest of the community. We're grateful for all that serve here. We're especially grateful for our staff and for our public safety and for all those who labor to clear our roads and to maintain our city and to help us grow. We especially ask thee to be with us this evening. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We will now have the Pledge of Allegiance presented by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest.
We invite the mayor, council, and audience to please rise. Please recite the Pledge of Allegiance with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Priest. Okay, we're going to start out with something a little different tonight, and we appreciate the chance to do this. We have invited the legislators that represent the City of South Jordan in the state legislature to be here with us tonight, and we want to thank them. The legislative session just came to a close, and they've been working around the clock for several months on behalf of the residents of our city and across the state. And so we want to say thank you. I'm going to call you out by name, and in just a minute, I'll invite you to come up and the council will come down. We have just a little swag bag for each of you to say thank you from the City of South Jordan. But thank you, Representative Doug Fiafia, Representative Jordan Tusher, Representative Tracy Miller, Representative Steve Ellison, and Senator Lincoln Fillmore is not able to be with us tonight, but we thank him as well. Many hours put in, and it's not done. It's not like the session is just a couple of months long and then you're done until next January, right? You're already working hard and interim assignments have been made, and this is something that you do all the time, and we appreciate the work. We appreciate the time. Thank you for your collaboration to work with the city and with your constituents, as we have a shared constituency, and what happens at the state level matters to us, and we're grateful that what happens here matters to you as well. So we want to say thank you. If our representatives wouldn't mind coming on up to the front, we're going to bring down our little swag bags. And while you're coming up, I want to say thank you to your families. We have some VIPs here in the audience with us tonight, the Fiafia family. Thank you for your support, for everything that you've done to make it possible for your dad to serve. We appreciate you and your sacrifice. We know that this gig is a whole family affair and that it's a sacrifice for everyone, and we just really appreciate it. So thank you for your support, and we'd love to come down and just thank you all.
Just so you know.
Yeah, it's just what we do. We just do whatever Rachel tells us to do. All the pictures are her idea. Okay. You're not going to believe that for 1 second.
To wait. Yeah, let's do it without the bags. Yeah.
That's for me.
That's a good idea. Together here. And let's do it without this. Let's take this off in the middle, Mayor. Thanks.
All right. And 3, 2, 1. Let me just get. All right. Some vertical ones there. And that's perfect. I got a bunch too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's some little South Jordan swag. And
I've never met you before, but thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Stevie Wilson.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies first. Here you go, Tracy.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Thanks for your good service.
Yes.
Appreciate you. You're welcome. Hello, by the way. Oh, thank you. So good to see you again.
Appreciate
thank you.
You.
Sorry.
My morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have another bag.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
We're missing a bag.
It's okay.
I didn't know that.
Oh, here it is, right here.
Right here.
It's hidden. Really? Yeah.
Positive. That's my point is when they were.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, thank you. So if you get a nap.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love
thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
Yes. Try to drag out as many things.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you trying.
You should.
Thanks, Ryan. Good to see you.
Okay, moving on, we have the minutes from our March 18, 2025 City Council meeting that have been sent out in draft form. Anyone have any amendments or questions or comments? Actually, there was an amendment made, and I think they are reflective of that amendment that was sent, right?
Yes, that amendment has been made.
Yeah, I'm sure I said it wrong, so I appreciate you changing it.
You're welcome.
It was a simple wording amendment, and that's been made. So if nobody has any other concerns or questions, I would ask if there's a motion to approve the March 18, 2025 City Council meeting minutes.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the City Council meeting minutes for March 18th, 2025.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. Thank you. All right, next up we have our mayor and council reports. We just want to take a quick minute to report back and share just a little bit about what each of us have been working on over the last couple weeks on behalf of the city. There's a lot of good work happening. As you are probably aware, this is a pretty dynamic time in our city's history, and there is a lot going on here. And so we just want to take a quick minute and share with you all a couple of the things that we've each been working on. Is there anybody who'd like to go first?
Sure, I'm happy to go first. So, we'll start out with I did attend one of the legislative updates after everything was over. It was good to be able to hear some of the most important things that happened up on the Hill. We had a lot of our legislators that spent a tremendous amount of time working on our behalf, and they were, I would say, very responsive to the needs of South Jordan City. You know, we had a number of people here that would go up to the Hill and interact with them, and I know they've already left and we've already thanked them, but they did a good job. So we did that. We all attended the new track station, the groundbreaking. It was an exciting time. The big bumblebee, and then the mayor gets out of a train, and we're all there cheering them on, and it was a lot of fun. That's a huge deal for South Jordan City to have that new track station. It's going to allow we actually just got done doing one of our surveys. We kind of hear what's from residents, and traffic was was actually the biggest concern that was brought up, you know, in that survey. And having tracks available is something that will help alleviate some of those traffic concerns as well. So we're happy to have that. It's in a very good strategic location. You know, it's right next to the new Bee Stadium, which we, you know, it's going to opening games on April 8th, which we're excited about. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But it was really well done. I mean, we had representatives from UTA, UDOT, the Miller Group, Southern City Mayor. Who else was there? There's a lot of other people there. But, you know, just it was a great time. So that was well done. And also I had Jordan Basin attended the sewer board meeting. The sewers are all flowing. Everything's fine. So, so everything's going well with sewer right now. So, and that's my report.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mrs. Johnson, would you like to go next?
No, I pass.
Okay. Thank you. Would you like to vote?
Sure. So I met with the Jordan River Commission Executive Director to review some of the Jordan River Commission business and prepare for the meeting, which is Thursday, of the Governing Board. And also attended the same legislative roundup that Mr. Harris attended and found that to be informative and useful. And also was at the opening of the new tracks station there at the Bees Stadium. And the mayor did a tremendous job, I thought, in representing us. Really well done. And Senior Advisory Committee met yesterday. I was able to be there with them and get my monthly poke about when we're going to announce a new senior center. So, and they have just a lot of activities going on. Really a lot of things happening for our seniors. So good things. That's my report, Mayor.
Thank you. Would you like to go?
Absolutely. Well, I sadly missed the tracks event, the grand opening, and the only reason I did is because I had something that trumped it. Huh. Sorry. My family. I actually just got back today, got off the plane from being in Washington, D.C. My daughter is currently serving as an intern at the Capitol in D.C. for Congressman Blake Moore. And such a great opportunity and privilege. So we went to visit her for her birthday, and while we were there for 6 days, we got to tour the White House. While we were at the White House, Marine One, the helicopter, landed on the South Lawn. I was geeking at the window, so ready to take a picture, and the security guys pushed us out. They won't let President Trump walk to Marine One while we're in the building, so we had to be pushed out to the sidewalk, and then Marine One took off. So I missed seeing him, but I got to see Marine One. And then we got to tour the Capitol, and one of the varied responsibilities of the interns is they take people on tours of the Capitol. And so one of the most amazing Mama Pay days that I've experienced was to walk through the U.S. Capitol with my daughter, pointing out the artwork and the architecture and the history and teaching me all about the Capitol of the United States of America. It was delightful. While we were in the Capitol, she said, "Mom, there's this really special room called the Lincoln Room. Has anybody ever heard of it? It's where the majority leader takes his special guests into the Lincoln Room, and there's a combination on the door, and you don't go in unless you're a guest." Well, one of the Secret Service guys made friends with these interns and said, "Here's how you get in. If you knock on the door and you act like you know what you're doing, they might let you in." So she said to me, "Mom, let's try it." I'm all, "Let's go." So she knocked on the door of the Lincoln Room and said, "Could I bring my parents inside?" And the lady let us in. So we got to go in the Lincoln Room, which is like highly prestigious. Nobody in Congressman Moore's office has ever been in there, and we got to go in. When you go, I'm telling you this because you'll probably never get to go. When you go into the Lincoln Room, there's this beautiful navy blue carpet, the mirror, there's this portrait of President Lincoln. At the back corner of the Lincoln Room, there's a trap door. And when the interns were taken in there, not the time I went, the Secret Service guy said, "Lift up the trap door and see where it goes." So they lift up the trap door, and everyone who's gone in there has signed their names. And they wind down this windy staircase, and there's all these signatures from years back. So she took us in there. On the table are Sharpies, So guess what I did? We opened the trap door, we climbed down, and we signed our names in the Lincoln Room.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was my mother's birthday the day I signed it. So it was quite delightful. So that was amazing. Then on top of that, has anybody ever had a dorm tour? Have you? Okay. Nobody gets to go on the dorm tour unless, like, anyway, my daughter scored tickets to the dome tour. So there's this little tiny staircase that goes up to the dome of the Capitol, and you see it, but nobody's ever up there. Anyway, they only do it a couple times a day. She's been calling for 2 months every morning to try and get tickets, and she got
very
tickets.
Hard to get a dome tour.
And it's kind of like collateral on the Capitol. Like, they call and trade tickets with each other. Mm. So we got to go on the dome tour, six of us, climb up all the steps, be around the dome where the artwork is, and then go up into the top where there's the portrait, the painting of George Washington. And then we exited the dome and went out to the outside of the Capitol, up to the top where the statue is, Lady Liberty. It was phenomenal. So needless to say, I loved and had the best time. And I missed your tracks debut, but wow, had the best time. And then got to see the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. So I'm in love with our nation's capital, had the best time, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to go and experience the Capitol Hill and the great elected officials. We spent a lot of time in Congressman Blake Moore's office, and grateful for the good people that serve here in our state and back in Washington. So that's my report.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to cut mine short. I met with Representative Burgess Owens. Had a good meeting, good visit with him. You know, he represents our district. He is our congressman in the House of Representatives. Met with him. Had a good, I'll skip over that, some of these. Let's see. We had our Transit Fresh Look meeting with the 12 communities that are all working on creating a unified vision and plan for an extension of the transit system that currently is centered further north of us mostly, and we know that we have the red line that ends here in South Jordan, but being able to expand transit service in our community, across our community, and then to everywhere west of us, south of us, the whole southwest part of Salt Lake County and northwest part of Utah County. So we've been working on this visioning project extensively with all the stakeholders. It's a big lift, it's a big project, and we only have two meetings left of this specific Transit Fresh Look project, and the goal by the end of that is to have an agreed upon potential routes for expanding transit and be able to get this into our Wasatch Front Regional Council plan, into the plan. There's not money for it. None of that even exists. We will deal with all of those things once we can come up with a unified collective plan for what it could look like to expand transit to the next part of the valley, where we don't have much, and to try to help people as we keep growing with people move around, right? So a really good meeting there. I had the chance to spend a day on a school bus presenting the 14 Outstanding Educator of the Year awards to the Jordan District Outstanding Educators of the Year, and five of those were here in South Jordan. And it was really just, it's one of my favorite days of the year to be able to go do that and surprise these teachers. And there's a lot of emotion. The students love it. And there's elementary and high school, middle school, every age. And sometimes we surprise them in an assembly. Sometimes it's in their classroom. It's just really a treat and something I'm grateful for the chance to be part of. And we have the banquet, the Outstanding Educator Banquet put on by the Jordan Education Foundation coming up in the new stadium. It'll be up in the meeting space, conference space up above the new stadium. So a treat to get to do that and go visit so many of our educators here. I attended a South Valley Chamber Women in Business event. They had they do one every month, and they had a speaker series and a lunch, and it was fantastic. That one was hosted in Riverton by Riverton City, and it was really well done. We had our tracks grand opening, which was such a big day, and we just, again, appreciate all of our partners that were part of that. My goal would be that we would have a lot of tracks grand openings over the next 10, 20 years across the valley as we continue to expand access to transit to help move people around. I went to South Jordan Elementary for their production of Wonka Jr., and it was amazing. They did such a good job, and there's over 1,500 volunteer hours that went into putting that production on. Wow. And they were darling. It was so well done. So kudos to South Jordan Elementary. It was fantastic. And without teachers willing to do it and parents willing and able to put in the time, those kind of things just can't happen because it's not like there's extra money or salary for those kind of things. It's volunteer hours, and it was really great. I mentioned last time that I went to Ogden. I was up in Ogden, and the mayor of Ogden invited me to their city hall, and we sat down and talked about our population is actually higher than the population of Ogden City. People think of Ogden as a huge city, and they're a big city, but they are the big city in Weber County. And he said, it's fascinating to me that your city is so big and you're a suburb of Salt Lake City. We are the big city up here, and you guys are one of the big cities where you're at, you know, so that was different. Anyway, this time I had the chance to host the mayor of Ogden and his deputy mayor, and Dustin and Jason and I took them on a tour of the city. They wanted to see it and see what was going on, and we got to spend a little bit of time with them showing what's happening here and talking about some of the things we have in common and some of the things that are very different between our different communities you know, just different strategies, what we're working on, how we're dealing with different things. I think the opportunity to see that from the lens of a different city is valuable, and it was really great. So we loved that. We had our Wasatch Front Regional Council meeting, and that went really well. There's some funding opportunities coming up that we're hoping to be eligible for, and so we'll keep working on that. And also had the chance to meet with several residents over the last couple of weeks and hear from some of them and some business owners and that are interested. You know, even today, Councilmember Johnson and I met with somebody who wants to expand their business here in the city. And so just appreciate the chance to visit with anyone and do what we can to try to work through some of the challenges that exist in today's world and see what we can do to help out. So that is my report. And we're going to now move to our public comment period. This is when we get the chance to hear from you. And so I will go in person to anyone here in the room who would like to speak. And before I open this up, I just say this every meeting, every time. We promise respect from us here. You will be treated with respect and civility from us. And we ask the same of anyone who chooses to speak. We're proud of how we do things here in South Jordan. And we're all here because we love this city. So with that, if you'll come to the front, give us your name and address for the record. Everyone can take 3 minutes to tell us anything you'd like. We won't solve all the problems right now during this time, but we'd love to hear your ideas, what you like, what you hate, what you want to do. And the time is now yours. So you're welcome, if you'd like to speak, to come to the front. The time is yours.
Good evening. My name is Robin Pierce. I live at 3963 West Cawdor Street. I think we need a dog park in South Jordan. I bring my dog to Harriman Dog Park, to Sandy Dog Park. We've been to West Jordan Dog Park. And I sent a letter to the board of the Bingham Creek Regional Park. Mr. Tingey replied to me and let me know that a dog park is on the master plan of the park, but it there's been no serious start to this, and he said it's part of phase B, but they don't have any time right now for when phase B would be, well, I'd just like to push for a dog park, because we're 90,000 people and growing. We're a pretty big town in the valley. And because Harriman's smaller than us, and they have a dog park, and Sandy has a dog park, I thought it might be nice that we have a dog park. And I feel that the Bingham Regional Park is huge and maybe underutilized, and people do take their dogs there. But I don't take my dog there because I like to have my dog in a designated fenced area. I feel more comfortable in a fenced area than just out in the open. Mr. Tingey said that fundraising and donation has been approved, but they haven't initiated anything yet. So that's why I'd like to know if there's something on the books that's not 10 years out.
We won't be able to solve all of those issues today, but I can tell you this is a conversation that we have been having.
Okay.
There's a lot of folks that agree with you and think that it would be great if we had a dog park in the city. money is always the issue, right? But it is a conversation that we're having actively, trying to look and see if there are solutions to what we could do to create a plan to make that happen.
I think people would definitely donate money to maybe pay for a bench, or if there's engraved pavers. I definitely think people will get involved because so many people have dogs. Thank you.
Thank you. Robin, thanks for being here. Thanks for being here consistently. Robin just chooses to come to our meetings and to hear what's going on, and we appreciate that because there's probably a lot of other things you could be doing on a Tuesday night, and we appreciate having you here. Thank you. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment period. Thank you, Robin. And we will move to our presentation items. First, we have a recognition of our the Special Events Professional Award from the Utah Recreation and Parks Association. Our very own Natalie Domino, who we love and revere, is here for a special award tonight. We're going to turn to the URPA Assistant Executive Director, Mikkel Christensen, for that. And just brace yourself in true fashion because we love Natalie.
All right, so I think just for a second, I'm gonna take a couple minutes and then we'll get to recognizing Natalie. But good evening, everyone, and thank you, Mayor Ramsey and Council, for having me for a few minutes. As noted, my name is Mikkel Christensen, and the Utah Recreation and Parks Association represents about 1,900 members across the state in both parks, recreation, special events, aging services, all of those spaces. So they're a group of professionals who work tirelessly to create, maintain, and promote and program spaces where we can connect, play, and thrive as a community. Today we're here mostly to talk about what's going on in South Jordan and the amazing work you guys are doing. You have a great Parks and Rec crew. Their passion for the field, as you know, is healthy, and you guys are very much leaders when it comes to that. So we want to thank you guys as a council for supporting them and making those things happen. We know funding and different things come from you guys, and serving your community is a high priority, and it's very visible. Just within your city, Janelle Payne, you know, is a great URPA leader. She's been a conference chair for our association and is currently serving as the administrative representative on the board. Colby Hill, who's here, has done a session. He did a session last year that was one of our highest rated workshops ever. So just his knowledge and expertise in his field has been amazing. And he's giving back to the state that way. Jason Miller just started as our parks representative on the board, and Caitlin Yout just started as our Wasatch region representative on the board. So thank you for supporting URPA and providing so much knowledge, and your staff has been incredible to work with. So thank you, and we know that Parks and Rec is the heart of your community. Each year leading up to our annual conference, we receive nominations for a variety of awards. This year, we received over 100 nominations recognizing professionals, programs, and facilities. A committee of URPA presidents and past presidents carefully review those nominations and then select the most deserving recipients. So tonight, as you mentioned already, we are here to recognize Natalie Domino as our Outstanding Special Events Professional of the Year. So if Natalie can come up, we'd like to recognize her.
That's what I was hoping for. I thought she can't just be dressed in plain black. That's true. Not Natalie.
Oh no.
That's our girl. That's what we love about her.
Perfect.
That's why she's the best.
Yep.
Like to bring a party. Yeah. It's a classy.
Does she have a permit for
that? Forget your kickstand.
All right, so just really quickly, speaking about Natalie, as you know, she is all in our field and in South Jordan. I think it's amazing what she does and just the pizzazz and glitter she brings to everything she touches. So thank you, Natalie. Just a couple words from her nomination real quick that I'd like to share. It says, what sets Natalie apart from others in our field is her ability to transform community engagement through innovative and inclusive programming. She continues to elevate South Jordan events and raises the bar for the state of Utah. She ensures events are dynamic, accessible, and reflective of our community's diverse needs. Personally, I've had the opportunity to work with Natalie on the board for the past 2 years, and she does bring the glitter and flair to everything she does. So thank you, Natalie. On behalf of URPA and our 1,900 members, we want to present you with your plaque of being the Outstanding Professional of the Year. And then this is just an image of when she received her plaque at conference. And there was less lights and less scootering, but still pizzazz.
I didn't know.
I'm right. That's true. Yeah, it was a surprise.
I didn't even know I was nominated.
Thank you, guys.
So we don't typically clap in this chamber, but we're going to give it up.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, Natalie, we want to come take a picture with you, too, because yeah, Natalie makes us all look good. She makes us all
bring
look
cooler
than we are, that's for sure.
Bring your disco stuff.
I got direction from like 3 different people about how to get this right. So anything for now.
I heard you have to turn it off instead of on.
You do.
Well, I was stressed about that, actually.
Okay, I'll get the two of you real fast.
3, 2, 1.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
Got your light on?
I've got it.
Yay!
This is great.
Thanks for always making us look so good.
Thanks for coming. Thank you guys for allowing us to be here.
She already knows the answer. Yes. She wants to be here.
I love being here. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I'm a little bit sad to give this back. It's kind of cool. It makes me look cooler than I am. Best of the best, Outstanding Professional of the Year. Well deserved. Okay, our next proclamation is in recognition of Arbor Day 2025. And for that, I happen to know that our staff wants nothing sparkly and no pictures of themselves. You might be surprised to know that our arborists are not bedazzled. And that's okay, we love them too. We're proud of them and appreciate them too. So, whereas in 1872, the Nebraska Board of Agriculture established a special day to be set aside for the planting of trees, and whereas this holiday called Arbor Day was first observed with the planting of more than 1 million trees in Nebraska, and whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world, and whereas trees can be a solution to combating climate change by reducing the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cutting heating and cooling costs, moderating the temperature, cleaning the air, producing life-giving oxygen, and providing habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. Now therefore, I, Don Ramsey, Mayor of the City of South Jordan, do hereby proclaim April 25th as Arbor Day in the City of South Jordan, and I urge all citizens to celebrate Arbor Day and support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands, and further urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden the hearts and promote the well-being of this and future generations. We had a fun Arbor Day activity last year. Some of you have probably seen the pictures, a bunch of us out planting trees at the city park, and Josh from our communications team had his little twins there. Oh, they were so loving it, and it was so cute to see them. So we had different generations of South Jordan residents there planting trees, and that was really fun. So we appreciate the arborists that work in our city, and that proclamation is in support of Arbor Day. All right, we have some action items. First, item I-1 is a resolution R-2025-19 authorizing Mayor Don R. Ramsey to enter into an interlocal cooperation agreement with Salt Lake County for services of the Salt Lake County Elections Division during the 2025 primary and general municipal elections. We're going to turn to our city recorder, Mrs. Anna Crookston, for this, and also welcome Salt Lake County Clerk Lanny Chapman, who came personally. She didn't even send someone in her place. Our county clerk is here, and we appreciate you being here. Thank you. We are going to turn to Mrs. Crookston for this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. So before you tonight is Resolution R-2025-19, authorizing the mayor to sign an interlocal agreement with our Salt Lake County Elections Division to run our 2025 municipal elections. As in past years and every odd year, we have contracted with the county to administer and work closely with our county office to conduct our elections. On page 27, that was included in your guys' packets, that is the scope of work that the county will provide under the interlocal agreement. As noted in our study session when discussing this item, there has been a price increase. Ryan Luce, city attorney, can speak to the terms that were revised in the agreement that I've placed in front of you, the red line version that was replaced from Friday's version and amended in Monday's version of the packet. So Ryan can speak to those terms. As discussed, we have been working close with the county and trying to figure out those numbers and coming to a number before signing this agreement. And then I am here to answer any questions. And I also have Lanny Chapman, Salt Lake County Clerk, here as well.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to share? We'd love to turn time to you if you would like some. Thank you, Mrs. Crookston.
Thank you so much. It is my honor and my privilege to be our Salt Lake County Clerk. And one of the things that we love to do is to help our municipalities and service districts during odd years. They're not just odd, they're fun. We get to do city elections and service district elections. And you'll note that there have been some changes. We're trying to be much more transparent when it comes to the pricing to make sure we all understand where our tax dollars are going. That is very important to me to make sure that we're being as fiscally responsible as possible, understanding all of the legislative changes that have been made, even in the last 5 years, including inflation, including all of the different things that bring about the changes. But I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, thank you. This is not a public hearing item, so if you want to have discussion before a motion, we can, or if we have a motion and then we can have discussion and ask questions, whatever you'd like to do, Council. Anybody have any questions?
Do we have any questions? I don't. I don't have any questions.
Yeah, I think we answered most of them in work session.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
One more thing I'd like to add is I cannot wait to go to the Bees games while they're here. My family and I, just a little plug, we've loved going to the Bees games, but we are so thrilled that they will be in South Jordan, and we cannot wait to take the tracks, to come down here as a family, and enjoy all that splendid South Jordan has to offer. So thank you guys for all that you guys do.
We welcome you warmly.
Thank you.
And there will be a lot of exciting ribbons being cut, I think, over the next year. Is that entire area...
I think so.
To develop out, so we hope you'll come check it out.
Most definitely.
Thank you. Okay, if there isn't any discussion at this point, I'll ask if there is a motion on Resolution R-2025-19 authorizing Mayor Donna Ramsey to enter into an interlocal cooperation agreement with Salt Lake County for services of the Salt Lake County Elections Division during the 2025 primary and general municipal elections. Is there a motion on that?
Mayor, I'll move to approve Resolution R-2025-19 as stated.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Zander. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion to this?
To say that all my questions and concerns about it were answered in the work session before, so if anybody's interested, they can check out those.
Yes, which is also a public meeting, and that record will be available.
Yeah.
I could make one comment.
Yeah.
I appreciate so much, Mrs. Crookston, for your transparency and work with the county to find out where the monies are being spent and a really clear description of where they're being allocated. And we appreciate you coming and stating the same. Transparency is big, and our tax dollars are being spent all over the state, and we need to know why and where and account for them. So thank you both for being very attentive. I appreciate that tremendously because we all contribute to helping our constituents feel like we're protecting their tax dollars. So thank you.
All right, if there's nothing else, I will probably actually turn to City Recorder Crookston for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Okay, that passes. Thank you, and again, we appreciate you being here. Thanks for coming. And Mrs. Crookston, thank you for your work on this. Okay, next we have a public hearing item. Item J1 is Resolution R2025-11, approving the use of Community Development Block Grant, which we affectionately refer to as CDBG funds, and authorizing the city to enter into a grant agreement for the use of CDBG funds. We're going to turn to Senior Accountant Reed Sanderson for this presentation.
Mayor, City Council, thanks for giving me opportunity to present. So this is my first year, since I'm the senior accountant and first year CDBG coordinator. I don't have any lights, music. Maybe next year I'll up my game a little bit.
There we go.
So this year happens to be the consolidated plan also. So we happen to have our 2025 to 2029 consolidated plan and then the 2025 to 2026 annual action plan. What are CDBG funds? CDBG funds are Community Development Block Grant, as you mentioned earlier. They're administered by the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, also in reference HUD. They must be used for eligible CDBG activities that benefit low and moderate income persons. This is a map of our LMI eligible areas. The standard for HUD CDBG funding is 51% based on our low moderate income. We have an area exception of 25.4%. Based on the last census tracts data, we have 40 tracts within the city. We have approximately 10 that fall within over that 25.4 low moderate income cap. And so this is a map of the different areas. The ones that are darker are the ones that qualify for low moderate income areas. We did do a survey related to community needs. The survey was distributed between February 19th through February 27th. They were sent by direct email to low moderate area residents. We got data from the utility billing based on that map that I showed prior. The areas that qualified. We reached out to approximately 1,924 direct invites along with HOAs within those areas and asked the HOAs to send it out to the residents that we couldn't get specific information and results to. Based on the 1,924, we got 399 responses. We also made it available on social media and the newsletter link. Based on those links, we obtained 143 responses. So based on the responses we got, so this is the responses in results to the survey as a whole. We also did narrow it down to those that fell within the low moderate income category. Across the board, they were pretty consistent as far as what the main concerns were. As you can see, street improvements, park and recreational facilities, sidewalk improvements, tree planting, mental health facilities are towards the top of the list. And said overall, we received 543 responses. Going to our 2025-2029 consolidated plan, based on the survey, the needs that we felt would be good goals within the next 5 years to focus upon, we determined the goals to be correcting accessibility deficiencies, maintaining existing housing, providing improvements in deficient neighborhoods, and supporting services for vulnerable populations as far as the needs that were the biggest concerns within the city. Going towards the community scoring process, this year we had 9 applications received. Out of all those 9 applications, there were a total of $339,000 in funds requested. This is an estimate, but we're gauging we'll receive around $220,000 of available funds. We have approximately 7 committee members between planning, engineering, finance, senior services, city manager's office, and parks that are on the committee that review the applications. We go through a scoring process, do an evaluation of all the scores to get an average. We send the survey out to all the committee members so they can review the survey, review the applicants, and then we make our decisions in regards to that data. Going on the scoring criteria, this is how our scoring takes place. The weight shown in parentheses. Organizations capacity is level 1. If the organization is well established, that gives a priority of level 1 also. Project, magnitude of people served, in this case is a level 2. We look highly at how many South Jordan residents are going to be benefiting from these type of services and consider that a higher level. Effective use of CDBG funding is level 1. I'm going on to eligibility. If it serves low and moderate income residents, that's the main reasoning behind the CDBG program. We're only allowed to use those funds in regards to low moderate income, so obviously that's a higher eligibility criteria. Performance advances towards the 2025 consolidated plan goals is level 1. Clearly advances national objectives and outcomes, level 1. Likely to be completed in a timely manner, so level 1. And then activity eligibility, is it allowed by HUD? All the applicants that do apply, we reached out to HUD on occasion, asked specific questions regarding their programs, also research through what HUD allows to make sure that everybody's eligible before we consider approving them. Going in regards to 2025-2026 annual action plan goals, the goals that we focused on for this upcoming calendar fiscal year is correct accessibility deficiencies, focusing on the ADA ramp program. We expect to receive, to benefit around 200 people based on our ADA ramp program. Support services for vulnerable populations, South Valley Sanctuary, community health centers, Legal Aid Society are the ones that we're planning to propose for approval this year. The goal is 1,850 people assisted based on those programs, with 4 people assisted for overnight shelter. The last one is maintain existing housing. That's in regards to Habitat for Humanity we're looking into this year. Their goal is 3 housing units to be able to supply needs. Our proposed allocations for this year, in regards to public services, we have a 15% cap. We're limited to what we can utilize in regards to public services. We're proposing South Valley Sanctuary receive $13,000 of those funds. Community health centers receive $10,000. Legal Aid Society, $10,000. Hard costs, there's no caps. We're looking at $116,526 in regards to ADA ramps. $113,000 is from this upcoming year's funding. And then $3,526 is amended funding. It says fiscal year 20 there, but it's actually fiscal year 23, which it states at the bottom. That was a typo. And then Habitat for Humanity, we're looking at funding $30,000 towards them this year. Admin and planning also has a 20% cap. We're splitting that out between program admin and eligible planning, $22,000 in each of those. As I mentioned earlier, the $220,000 is an estimate. We typically get the final numbers within those allegations around the latter part of May. Last I heard, based on the things that are going on with the HUD program currently, federal funding, they're anticipating sometime around the middle of July. So going on those estimates, if the ground amount is lower than estimated $220,000, all activities will be adjusted based on the following percentages. Admin and planning will remain at the 20% cap. Public service will be decreased proportionally between the three that we're looking into to stay within the 15% cap. Habitat for Humanity funding will remain the same, with ADA being adjusted for the differences. If the grant amount is higher than the estimated $220,000, all activities will be adjusted based on these following percentages. Admin and planning will remain the same, 20%. Public services will stay as originally allocated. Besides, South Valley had requested $15,000 originally. If the funding's higher, we'll grant the $15,000 that they requested. Habitat for Humanity funding will remain the same, with all remaining fundings being allocated to the ADA ramp activity under infrastructure improvement projects. Then all older funds, which we had the $3,000 will be, amended funds will be accessed for ADA ramps. Next step is to continue public comments through April 17th is when the public comment period will close. As I mentioned earlier, mid-July, hopefully we'll get to adjust amounts based on the final allocations, submit comments, sign forms, and final allocations based on the annual action plan, the consolidated plan to the county who submits all plans to HUD. We'll prepare environmental reviews and subrecipient agreements. Once HUD approves and finalizes agreements and begins accepting invoices and reports, usually starts around July 1st. Most likely that'll be delayed again this year. Lastly, said these are the providers that we use currently. If anybody needs help, they're able to reach out to them based on the programs that we have now. And then said I did receive some questions from Don Shelton earlier. I'm willing to address those now, or if you want to
actually, thank you so much, Reed, for this presentation. Yep. What I'm going to do, because this is a public hearing, is I'm going to open it up to the public, and then we'll come back to the council and have you answer the questions that came from Mr. Shelton, and we may have more that come up after we hear from folks or whatever, so if that's okay.
Sounds great. Yep.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Okay, I'm now going to open the public hearing on Resolution R-2025-11, approving the use of community development block grant funds and authorizing the city to enter into a grant agreement for the use of CDBG funds. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this item specifically? If so, the time is now yours.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. My name is Carissa Guthrie, and I work for the Road Home, and I am also a resident of the South Jordan City in Daybreak. So it's wonderful to be here and to meet all of you. We just wanted to say and thank you for the thoughtful consideration of the Road Home for these funds. We understand we are not granted funds this year, but we are proud partners, and we are happy to serve members of the South Jordan City. We serve approximately 1,000 individuals every night with emergency shelter, and even more with housing opportunities, and that includes about 300 individuals out of our Family Resource Center in Midvale. So we deeply appreciate the consideration, and if there are more funds that do become available, we would love to be considered, but we are extremely proud of our partners that have been awarded those funds and appreciate the consideration.
Is there anyone else here that would like to speak? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this public hearing item? If so, I need you to please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Looks like we have Brandon Veal who would like to speak. Brandon, we're going to ask you to turn your camera on for us.
Can you hear me? This computer actually does not have a camera. Is that going to be an issue?
Go ahead.
Okay, awesome. So my name is Brandon Vile. I am the grants manager with South Valley Services. So first and foremost, just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to apply for the CDBG funds again. And then obviously the funding recommendation that you guys were generous enough to give to us. For those of you who don't know who we are, South Valley Services is a domestic violence crisis shelter and supportive service center for victims throughout Utah. We do have a focus in Salt Lake County and Tooele County with the absorption of another shelter about a year and a half ago. So some service stats from our organization from the last fiscal year are that we served 3,809 clients with just over 19,000 total services. So that is throughout our entire programming, including case management, victim advocacy, financial education, direct emergency shelter, clinical services, housing support, and then a few that I am sure that I am missing, but the list is pretty extensive. Of those, we answered 5,538 24/7 emergency helpline calls, provided 520 clients with direct emergency shelter between our two shelters. 826 clients received 2,065 hours of case management services. 429 clients received 1,298 hours of clinical services. And we hosted 276 education events, reaching 6,800 community members, spreading the word about domestic violence and partnering with schools to help children learn things like healthy characteristics and relationships. So with that, I will give back the time to you guys. And again, just want to reiterate that we are very thankful for this continued partnership and the support that you guys have shown our organization over the years. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great rest of your night.
Thank you, Brandon. We appreciate you all the work you do.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else online that would like to speak to this public hearing item? If so, let us know. Okay. Seeing none, I will close the public hearing and acknowledge thank you for being here, and thank you for what you do for the Road Home. We appreciate you and had a long-standing partnership and appreciate all the good work that happens there. Thank you so much. Okay, I am now going to turn to the council and see what questions, discussion. We'll invite Reed back up if that's okay. It's the hot seat, but I promise we're nice. So I know there were some questions that were submitted earlier today by Mr. Shelton. How about we start with those, and then we'll see what else anybody else has.
Yes, I appreciate the heads up on the questions. I said, being new, I didn't know all the answers to a few of them, so I was able to look into them to get the correct information for you. So the first question was, I remember we've contributed to assist in the past. Why have we chosen to not contribute this year? Based on discussions, my understanding is we did use assist, it looks like, quite a few years back. The discussion was had to use part of RDA funding in relation to those type of programs, which then involved the CDBG program getting away from funding that type of program, so it hasn't been funded over the last few years. from my understanding also, RDA funds have been used towards other things, not those type of programs. So we're trying to build that involvement back into that type of program with the CDBG funding. The next question was, does Habitat for Humanity provide the same services as Assist? And are they a better provider? What is the rationale for changing? Habitat for Humanity does offer similar services to the Assist program. If you dug into it, I'm sure there are a few differences, but they do help with accessibility concerns within the home, funding to provide assistance for accessibility options, like the Assist program did. Is one better than the other? I really can't answer that question if one is better than the other in regards to their program. What was the rationale for changing? We actually reached out to Assist this year asking them to apply, in which they did not. Community Habitat for Humanity was the one service that did apply that felt that type of program. So we decided to lean towards building a relationship with them to help, because that was one of the biggest concerns that we had in regards to personal reach out. And then, you know, a good portion of the survey led us towards that direction. Where's the community health center located? Midvale City is the closest location. They do have locations throughout the valley. Midvale City is the closest one in regards to South Jordan City. The next question was, are any of the grantees located in South Jordan? The only applicant that's located physically within South Jordan is in regards to South Jordan ADA ramp program. All the rest of the entities, we're trying to build our involvement closer to city limits, but there's limited resources physically within the city. There was one applicant, English Skills Learning Center, that is not located in the city, but they're using one of the public libraries for their courses. But based on the amount of funding that they requested and the scoring that we got from the committee and the public reach out survey, we felt that they weren't a good fit, so we did not select them this year. The next question was, will any of the funds allocated to Habitat for Humanity be used directly in South Jordan? The answer to that question is, any funding we give to any of the providers, they're required to utilize those funds primarily for South Jordan residents. Even though they're outside of the city, they report to us on a quarterly basis. They have goals, they report on a quarterly basis the number of South Jordan City residents that they benefited based on that program. And then we approve the funding and grant them the funding at that point in time. Next question was, what does LMA eligible area mean? It appears that none of the lower Glenmore area is LMA eligible. Is that correct? As I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier in my presentation, HUD granted South Jordan City an exception of 25.4%. That map that I showed earlier in the presentation is the LMA stands for low moderate area. Those are the areas that are deemed low moderate income eligible based on what were allowed by HUD on the CBG program.
Can you explain a little bit more about what that 25-ish percent is reflective of, though? Of how is that determined?
What's the criteria
for determining that those areas qualify? Because based on the map, I was surprised.
Yes. So the map is based off the census data. As you can, if you remember going back to the map earlier, it was dated 2020.
Pull it up.
Can you pull it back up again?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, so the last data from the census tracts is 2020. That's the last time that the data was updated. So these areas are based on the census data as far as income. So the areas that are darker are the areas that are over the 25.4%. Last year, the census data was from 2010. We actually had, the areas have changed a little bit. I wish I had a copy of last year's map with me. But the data has changed a little bit from last year, but we have more eligible areas. This year, we have 10 eligible areas, where last year, I think we had around 6 or 7, if I remember properly. But going to the question in regards to Glenmore, last year, part of the Glenmore area was within one of the LMA areas, which looking at the map, you can see that has changed based on this year.
So how do you identify this? I'm still unclear. You're looking at the income in those households or the cost of the housing product that they're living in?
Yeah, this is actually all data ran through the census program. So they actually generate the tracks, gather the data for those specific tracks, and base the percentages on the tracks. Okay. We actually just pull this data off of the census website for South Jordan City specifically, and then we focused on the areas that were over, that were eligible, and grade those out. We actually don't calculate and factor these and gather this data.
So the census calculates and gathers the data, and then does HUD give you the answer of where it...
HUD gives us the percentage that we're allowed in regards to low moderate income, the 25.4% exception. We said typically it's 51%, but because we have so little low moderate income areas within South Jordan City, they've given us the exception of 25.4% this year. And that does change. HUD justifies and sets that percentage every year, so that does change.
So these sidewalk repairs that we're going to do, that we've been doing every year, are they only concentrated in those LMI?
No, so
they, throughout the city.
Yeah, so if it helps as far as wheelchair accessibility access, we're allowed to, because obviously people go to grocery stores, public buildings, use sidewalks throughout the city, so they're not regulated. Okay. Within these specific areas in regards to that type of program.
So what's the significance of these particular areas? What limitations does that put on the funding?
Yeah, in the funding that we're utilizing currently, it really does not. Okay. Because we're primarily focusing on the ADA program in regards to our projects. And then we have, this year we have the Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity, they can go outside of these areas, but they do have to deem that they're helping a low, moderate income person. Mm-hmm. If we were to do a project in regards to a park or planting trees, something to that extent, then we'd have to focus on these low, moderate income areas in regards to that. But accessibility gives it more of a broad to where we can go outside of these areas, because accessibility, people use those throughout the city. So it gives us a little broader. So in regards to this map, currently we're not really doing any programs that would tie us to focusing on these specific areas.
So Reid, I want to make sure I'm clear. I think I picked up from what you were talking about, Mrs. Johnson, but sounds like this map is primarily used to calculate funding. Is that correct? From HUD?
From HUD, they justify, correct. They justify how many low, moderate income areas and that, utilize that
drives the funding
into how much funding that we receive.
Okay.
We're going on the funding based on our area, our seven state area. When I looked at it, we were one of the fifth, we're the fourth or fifth lowest in the funding that we receive from HUD. So our funding is very limited.
So I also want to make sure I understand. So if there's a family or individual that is low to moderate income and they apply for, wheelchair ramp or something like that through, mm-hmm. say, Habitat for Humanity, they wouldn't necessarily have to live in one of these areas, but they would have to justify the work or the grant or whatever based on their income in their household or something like
that. Yes, so they would have to, like using Habitat for Humanity, for example, if they were to apply for Habitat Humanity, they'd have to work with Habitat for Humanity to justify that they qualify as a low-income resident within the city.
And it doesn't matter that they don't live...
They don't have to, no. So this map pertains to projects that we specifically do as a city.
And
any of our service providers, as long as they justify that they fall within that low-moderate income guidelines,
right,
they can service anybody with that within the city that's not tied to those specific areas.
And so we could build a park, for example, but using these funds, but mm-hmm. that would have to be in one of these areas. Is that correct?
Correct. Or if it was outside of one of these areas, we would have to justify to HUD that there's a substantial amount of low moderate income residents
from one of these areas.
From one of these other areas that utilize that area.
Okay.
Correct.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Every year we chip away at our sidewalk projects and our ADA accessibility with CDBG funds and do what we have the money to do in the city. We've been doing that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me, do you know how many projects, how many accessibility cutouts we would be able to do with this $116,000?
I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Mr. Clavino, do you know?
You off the top of your head, or I can look into it.
Yeah, I think last year the ADA ramps came in at about 3,200 or so, 3,400, somewhere in that range. The year before, 1 or 2 years ago, they came in like a 6,000. But last year we got a pretty good price on them in the 3,000 somewhere. So just divide that out and it'd be approximately what we could do.
Quite a few.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I will say that while I think the census calculations for, I'm looking at this map going, it's funny for me to even have some of these places called low to moderate income areas because by most standards they simply are not. However, I appreciate HUD working with us and that this is what it is and that there's a calculation for this because we want to be able to help those that we can. And
yeah.
And I appreciate that the map is our correct city boundary. Well done.
That's, yeah, no worries.
That, we don't see that a lot yet. You know, there's a lot of outside entities and folks that are still working on that. And so
yeah, and the map was more to kind of give you guys an idea of the areas that are low moderate income and technically do qualify. But is that based on the projects that we're doing currently, we're not really tied to those specific areas.
Did you have something you wanted to say? Any questions?
I
think this might be a typo, or I just don't understand, but it's on page 28 of your report, or 63 of our thing, and it says, based on the needs analysis above, describe the state's need in colonias, C-O-L-O-N-I-A-S, and then there's no answer or writing.
In response to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so HUD has a specific format to the plan. If we don't meet those needs, then there's no response for that.
So what is that
term?
What page is that?
There's a term that...
What page, Kathy?
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting.
What page is it?
I mean, I even Googled it and came up with something clunky.
Yeah, based on the needs analysis above, describe the state's needs in colonias. C-O-L-O-N-I-A-S. You're right, I don't know what that means.
Any form of money.
Yeah. I don't know what that... Yeah, I don't know what that word
means. So I did
that's
muscle
a good
through.
Catch.
Yeah, I wonder if there's a typo on that part.
Looks like it.
Yeah.
I have to look at that a little bit further.
Do we mind if we go to the screen where we're showing the entities that we're allocating funds to?
Uh-huh. All right.
Okay. You know, I was just... thinking we had a representative from, you know, Road Home here, and I was just wondering if what the council's thoughts were, and finding, say, maybe $5,000, you know, for Road Home, I understand that in order to do that, we had to pull a little bit from others, but you know, is there support from the council to do something like that?
I was going to say something similar, so I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah.
I have the same thought.
Yeah, I appreciate that this young woman, this lady, can't remember your name. Let's see, Carissa Guthrie. I wrote it down. Two things. I appreciate that you came, and also that you're a resident in our city. So I would love to find some money if we could. Do we have the ability to?
So it would have to come from one of these public service.
Yeah, because we are tied to the 15%.
But that's what I was saying.
So we'd have to minimize.
Yeah, just South Valley goes down to takes 10, community health centers 9, legal aid center 9, and Road Home 5.
I don't have any objections.
I am supportive of that.
I'm supportive as well.
I like the idea.
Does that work?
When we vote on this, then that would be that would be
amendment.
Part of the
okay.
motion. Yep. You know, if there was a motion to approve this, it would have to be in that. But I would be supportive of that. I felt the same thing. I thought, Road Home. How do we not support the Road Home? We always do. We always have, and appreciate the work happening there. And $5,000 might feel like a nominal amount, but if it's what we can do, we'd like to. I'd like us to do something.
Yep. Okay.
Anyone have any other
questions
or comments? Any questions for Reed?
Are you ready for a motion?
Well done. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate your presentation.
Thanks for the time.
Okay, with that, I will ask if there is a motion on Resolution R-2025-11 approving the use of community development block grant funds and authorizing the city to enter into a grant agreement for the use of CDBG funds.
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve a Resolution R-2025-11 with the one amendment of the allocation that we just discussed. You know, it's $5,000 going to the Road Home altered accordingly as we stated.
Did you have notes about exactly what that you had that written down right there? Okay, because I won't turn to a different page now.
Yeah.
Second that motion with the amendment.
Yeah.
All right, we have a motion with an amendment to the proposed budget making a slight reduction to three awardees to include a $5,000 support to the Road Home. Any questions or comments on that? Okay, seeing none, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
That's great. Thank you. And thank you for being here and for everything you do. Yeah, thank Reed, thank you for your presentation and all your work on this and everyone who's worked on this. And we appreciate all the partners that work and serve and try to do their best to take care of some of our more vulnerable populations, including those coming from South Jordan and those from everywhere. So thank you. All right, we will move on to item K. We have staff reports and calendaring items. We'll turn to our city manager, Dustin Lewis, for this.
I'm going to turn to Director Janelle Payne. There's a couple of events coming up that we want to give you a little bit of background and information for. So, Director Payne.
Yeah. This Saturday, we have our Spring Spectacular event at the softball complex at City Park from 9 to 11, with the candy scramble starting at 10 a.m. sharp. And then we also have on April 19th our Earth Day races, and that is filling up really quickly. So if you're planning to participate in that, I just encourage registration sooner rather than later.
This Saturday is the Easter?
Easter is this Saturday, the 5th, 9 to 11 a.m.
But the candy scramble's at 10.
Yes.
Sharp.
Yeah.
And it's over.
It'll be over by 10:01.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just by the softball?
Softball fields, okay. Yep. Just between
the same place it was last year?
Yes.
Are you going to have the cute little animals?
Yes. We have the little baby animal petting zoo and activities and a DJ similar to last year, all those activities going on.
Is the dog team coming?
I believe they are. I'm also going through contracts for Summerfest right now, so I'll confirm that. I'm getting all of the events mixed up.
It's not urgent. We always love seeing the dunk team there. It's fun to
It's been a staple of that event.
Yeah,
so.
I'm
pretty sure I signed that contract, I think.
Okay, okay. And that one had two dates, I think, too, for our parade preview. Awesome. We brought them out, too. Yeah. So, yep.
And did you order warmer weather this year?
Yes.
Last year was pretty cold.
We're trying. Yeah. Everyone cross your fingers.
And today was a blizzard,
no snow.
So there's that.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Janelle. Speaking of the race series, one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to preload all the rest of this year's race dates onto your calendar so that you can look forward, and if anyone feels the need to start training for some of those later in the year, you'll have those.
Love it.
I will also be adding one for one of our neighboring cities. They have reached out and invited you to come and participate in their race, and we likewise have invited them to come and participate in our GLOW run coming up later this year. So I'll get those on your calendar so you can start to
That's
train.
That's the Harriman Yeti run, right?
Yes,
the Yeti race?
What month is that?
That's in June. It's, I think, the third
Not
weekend
that far
in
away.
June. So.
Their council racing their council? Is that what you're saying?
We haven't quite figured out how we're going to score it. It's a bit friendly in the competition. Okay.
Push might come to shove. We'll see. Yeah.
I suggested that we not run, that we ruck, and the city that can carry the most weight wins, and I'll be on your team.
Yeah. We will kick butt if we
ruck. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's all I have for you tonight.
That's great. Thank you. Okay, unless anyone has anything else. I just have a calendaring item, just a reminder that I have tickets for all of you to the Interfaith Council Easter event, and anyone interested, I've mentioned it here the last couple of meetings. Those tickets are free, they're available, and they're the first ever South Valley Interfaith Council Easter event will be happening at the ballpark at America First Square on Monday, April 14th. Tickets are free if you'd like to go. They're available now online and you can reserve some. So we'll just coordinate because I'm not sure how to get them to you. They're all electronic, so we'll just all show up and go in together or something. We'll figure that out.
Okay.
So, and I think that's it, except for April 8th. April 8th is coming up. So we have a week and look forward to seeing everybody there that night. And they want us to all wear our jerseys, and they're making you a jersey. And so, yeah. Okay. All right. With that, I will ask for a motion to recess our city council meeting and move us to executive closed session for the discussion of the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property and to discuss the character, professional competence, physical, or mental health of an individual.
Madam Mayor, so moved.
Thank you. Mrs. Johnson, can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Zander. Any discussion to that? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, we are going to move into executive closed session and say thank you so much to all of you who are here. Thanks for being here. Thanks for speaking. Thanks for everything that you do. We really do appreciate you being here and participating.